look at what ChatGPT did. They came in with the product, they had the right marketing, and they completely took over the AI market. So those are things that we need to be cognizant of. We need to move faster, we need to think quicker, and that's really what this process allows you to do.
And they cash out $20 billion. I think there is not going to be any other AI company, well, AI app or AI business, AI-based business that could cash out that amount of money in such a short amount of time of their existence in public market.
Exactly. And, you know, it's funny, I made it at a time where I was able to fit ChatGPT into the book. But one of the questions I get asked is, well, how do you use ChatGPT? And, you know, ChatGPT has even integrated itself into this process.
Bonanza Growth Podcast, innovation, strategy, and UX for SaaS. Bonanza Studios is a growth consultancy for SaaS and fintech startups. Every SaaS business needs to fight in three different battles. First, product market fit, discovering a growing marketing and designing a compelling and undeniable solution to meet that demand. Second, product-led growth, turning your product into a growth vehicle by leveraging outcome-driven UX design. And third, creative marketing and organic brand building. If you're looking for a reliable partner to drive growth, check out our website at bonanza-studios.com.
All right, well, welcome to the power of two-hour design sprints. I'm Teresa Kane, and thanks so much for having me here on this webinar, and I look forward to kind of partnering, and feel free to interject with any questions or ask questions in the chat, and same from the Bonanza side as well. Before we jump in, just a little bit about my background. I've been with TreviPay since 2018. We are a global fintech with around 700 employees, as he mentioned, and we process around 7 billion in transactions across 32 countries. So we are a white label solution. So you may not have heard of TreviPay as often, you know, as a PayPal, but we are behind the scenes in a lot of payment technologies, especially on and primarily on the B2B side. Additionally, I've been in B2C and B2B product and UX leadership roles across multiple Fortune 100, 500 organizations. I also am the founder and CEO of a startup called Lucid Startup Consulting that provides advice to startups looking to get VC funding as well as training as well. And then I'm kind of a nerd. I really like education. I decided to go after a second master's degree and almost completed with that at Carnegie Mellon University. And in terms of what we're going to be talking about today, in addition to kind of authoring the book you probably have heard of, I've led, coached, or participated in over 100 design sprints. And so really talking about this process, how we got here, how you could utilize it, and I look forward to kind of hearing some of the feedback on it. I'll check to make sure there's no questions along the way. Oh, perfect. So why two-hour design sprints? You know, this is a question I get asked a lot. You know, why 2 hours? How to start there? But ultimately, 2 hours is the right amount of time that you're able to get enough stakeholders in a room to problem solve. And I mentioned TreviPay. You know, we're in 32 countries for processing transactions. Beyond that, we actually have teams globally as well. So we have offices in several locations in the US, as well as Australia, the Netherlands. We have several employees in Germany as well. And that can become very challenging when you're trying to problem solve and you have product managers, engineers, and subject matter experts all over the globe. So this was a struggle for us as an organization before the COVID pandemic hit. And then, you know, comes in the COVID pandemic. So ultimately, what we're going to be talking about today, you know, how this process came about and why 2 hours allows you to kind of have that speed of problem solving, whether it's for you as an organization or a problem you're having as a product manager, owner, or UX designer, or researcher. So I imagine most of you on here are familiar with design sprints and design thinking, so I won't dive into this, but ultimately, not everyone may realize that design sprints really derived from the design thinking methodology. And so the 2-hour process takes the best of both worlds of what, you know, tends to work really well for organizations and utilizing that in a 2-hour timeframe. So just kind of diving into that history and evolution, design thinking actually really started in the 70s. There's actually books that date back to the 50s, and it used to be termed visual thinking. And the term design thinking was really popularized by IDEO and Stanford's Design School. And most of you who are familiar with design sprints know that Jake Knapp and the team at Google created this process in 2010 through trial and error. And, you know, they also released a book in 2016. And even in running the 5-day design sprint process, I ran a number of 5-day, multi-day design sprints before moving down to this hourly method. And immediately off the bat, I noticed a lot of challenges with 5-day design sprints that we'll talk about. And while the process is really great, and I still think design thinking and 5-day design sprints have their time and place, a lot of organizations don't really have the bandwidth or the time to spend 5 full days. That's 40 hours for every individual in the room. And they don't have the bandwidth to be able to do that. Especially look at all the layoffs that are happening right now all over the globe. There's not a day that goes by that I'm not seeing someone laid off on LinkedIn. Organizations are cutting costs right now. So that's something, you know, how this even happened is, you know, how do we become more efficient knowing that COVID, whether we're still in the same stage that we were at several years ago, it's still having an impact on organizations across the globe. So some of the success that we saw from 2-hour design sprints and that I'll talk about more is ultimately you're able to push higher value features to your clients faster and cheaper. So in that 2-hour focus time period, you're able to take a lot of different problems and really come up with a solution at the end. And this is where a lot of people get skeptical on, can this really be done in 2 hours? And I'll walk through a couple examples of exercises right out of the Figma FigJam template that we're going to talk about. And ultimately, by implementing this process at TrevyPay, I've also had the opportunity to train organizations around the globe, including product managers from Google, Tesla, Amazon, other organizations. So there is value being had in using this process for small, medium problems. We're able to kind of take a problem and kind of solution it pretty quickly.
Sure. Can I play devil advocate here for, because I talk to folks about 5 days design sprint versus shorter versions, and also talk about your version, and some, not like anyone, I talked to director of design at a very reputable agency, and he came back to me and said, well, Bharat, sometimes we intentionally want to take it slow and really bake futures, because when we rush it, we might overlook certain aspects that would be very crucial to designing that future or a product or what have you. What would be your response to this kind of, to this line of thinking?
Yeah. So I'm going to be a little kind of funny, half serious here, but you know, I think that's a great way to make more money. Of course, they're going to want to say 5 days.
Yes.
But that's the reality. I've worked with design firms, big and large, before. I've worked with, I'm not going to name them because they'll probably listen to this, but I've actually worked with the top 2 design firms that offered design training, spent over $200,000 at a couple organizations I worked with. And it was a waste of money. You know, that $200,000, what I really convinced the CEO of the organization I was at and leading when I was leading product and UX strategy there was, we don't need to spend $200,000 a year. Let's take this process internal. And that's exactly what I did. So I think, giving said that, I think there are complex problems where you really do need to take your time. But really, the point of 2-hour design sprints isn't necessarily to slow down. It's really to find the holes in the problem that you're talking about as a group. Because I have had several failed 5-day design sprints where we came out of that wasting, you know, $50,000 and only to have another 5-day design sprint because that's what the firm told us to do. And, oh, we end up with a third one. So if you think about it, even if you have a 5-day or 2-hour design sprint, what you want to be able to do is know that you have the right direction for a solution. And if it takes you 5 days to do that, you're missing out on a lot of opportunities.
That's right.
So we talked a bit about what a 2-hour design sprint is. And ultimately, what I'd like to do is just dive, you know, right into a little more of like what the schedule looks like. So this is actually a copy of the last 5-day design sprint I ran. And before the pandemic, I started running multi-day and 1 and 2 days design sprint for a long time before I went to this. But this last 5-day design sprint I ran, this is kind of where the failure. So bringing in kind of what you just said a second ago on, I want to take time. I mean, look at all these steps in this process. You know, there's only a certain amount of times that you can really think of how to solve a problem in a different way. And most of the time with these 5-day design sprints, you're not even getting to all these steps. And I did a survey on one of the last 5-day design sprints I ran with my org. And the favorite thing about stakeholders of the entire process is that I brought in lunch and high-end coffee. So that was their favorite part, is that they got a break from their day to focus on a different problem, and they really liked the lunch and coffee option. So to me, that was a signal of we probably shouldn't be spending 5 days. If you take out the coffee and the lunches and the time where you're unproductive as a group, you're already condensing that down probably to 3 days and not a 5 days. So whether you want to do a multi-day, what I'm hoping everyone will gain from this process is you don't have to do 5 days, you don't have to do 2 hours, but you need to find the time that's right for your organization to be able to come up with a solution and move quickly. Because if you don't do that, you're going to be displaced. Look at what's going on right now. The influx of startups that are launching every single day. When I started at TrevyPay 5 years ago, I could count on my hand 5 competitors in our space. We have over 60 competitors today.
Wow.
Your period. That's the reason you need to be moving fast, right? And that's why this is just one of many methodologies that I've implemented and my team has implemented at TrevyPay, but that's really the why behind it, right? I won't dive into that. So I kind of talked about some of the challenges. So too expensive, whether you are hiring a third party at a large price tag, I mentioned the $200,000 price tag, that was for a 1 year of 5 design sprints. Five-day design sprints, or maybe you have lack of internal resources or UX team to be able to run them. But the biggest factor here is I mentioned this remote collaboration and international teams. The construct of a 5-day design sprint means if you have international teams, you're flying everyone somewhere. Who wants to sit on a webinar or a Zoom meeting for 5 full days for 40 hours? No one. No one wants.
Not me.
So I think that's really kind of the key challenges of what happens with this original process. And I think it's just really part of the natural evolution, right? We need to be constantly improving. Look at ChatGPT. Even though several AI tools already existed, including some I had built, I'd worked at SMG a few years back, and we had built algorithms for NLP and text analytics. And look at what ChatGPT did. They came in with the product, they had the right marketing, and they completely took over the AI market. So those are things that we need to be cognizant of. We need to move faster, we need to think quicker, and that's really what this process allows you to do.
And they cash out $20 billion. I think there is not going to be any other AI company, or AI app, or AI business, AI-based business, that could cash out that amount of money in such a short amount of time of their existence in public market.
Exactly. And, you know, and it's funny, I made it at a time where I was able to fit ChatGPT into the book. But one of the questions I get asked is, well, how do you use ChatGPT? And, you know, ChatGPT has even integrated itself into this process. In fact, I ran a 2-hour design sprint a couple weeks ago where we built user personas out of ChatGPT. We asked ChatGPT who the target user persona was, and this particular organization didn't know what they needed and they didn't know where to focus. And so that's something that is being used right now across product and UX just for research.
Teresa, one point in about the previous slide that we love to add as a my experience, I've when I did my master in 2010, my entire master was run on design thinking. So it was design thinking based master program of innovation. Then I did design sprint. Often we would commit to this 1 week design thinking endeavors or design sprint. And then we would go through the entire week and we realized, we forgot about that case, or we did not look into this. The advantage of 2 hour design sprint or 2 hour problem solving, some folks, they don't want to call it design sprint because they're making money out of 5 day design sprint. So they don't want a contender coming and sweep their business, is that it's undoable. If you made a big mistake in your your initial set of assumption, 2 hour design sprint, problem solving, whatever you want to call it, allows you to iterate. If you made a mistake, okay, it was 2 hours, that was fine, right? But what if you made a huge mistake and you run one of these 5 day design sprint? Wow, €20,000 already went out down the toilet. Right. Sorry.
Right. Exactly. And it's interesting. One of the things I've been talking about this topic for a couple years now, and even the book didn't come out until this year, but it's been, something I've been practicing and training on. And one of the things I learned is even organizations need help with 2 hour design sprints. So I think there is a place for consultancies, in the 2 hour. And I think that's something that's kind of an evolving thing, right? Is some organizations don't have product managers or UX designers. I had
that's right.
An organization bring me in, and guess who the product manager was? The CEO. So I think that, that's one of the things that we have to keep in mind is every organization, every startup is in a different stage of a different size. And so you have to kind of figure out what works best. And for some organizations, that's 100% consulting firms. But for others, they could take this method or other methods and just run with it and have that output and repeat it over and over. So let's see, it's September. We have done over 25 2 hour design sprints in 2023 alone at Trevi Pay.
That's why you are winning.
Yeah, and we're rapid. We're able to use this method not just within, so we've got around, I want to say 26 engineering teams, and that's spread across different products and features and globally. Several, Australia, we've got them everywhere, Costa Rica, and the US. And with that, we're able to kind of take these different features and move them forward. But I will say, so for large complex problems, one of the new things that I've kind of been talking about is kind of stacking 2 hour design sprints. So this method was meant for small and medium problems. But if you have a complex problem or one that's going to have multiple user personas, so let's take a dashboard. You have an executive that wants a roll up view. They aren't going to log in often. Maybe they just want notifications. And that's the view that you're solving for versus an analyst that's actually going to go in and do the work and manipulate the data. So that's where you would kind of break those design sprints out into the different personas. You'd have one for the executive solve and one for the analyst solve. And that's something where you can kind of have either stacking and you're able to come up with those different outputs. But that's really how you kind of break that piece down. And that could become, depending on who you have, if you're a consultancy side, that's where you could utilize a consultancy firm to come in and say, hey, we have multiple problems and we need to stack these all at once. So, but for anyone using firms, I think you should be squeezing more out of them for what they're providing. I've paid for a lot of 5 day design firms over the years, and it could be done a lot more efficiently with this process or just condensing it on your own. So this is a live picture of one of the last multi-day design sprints we did in person. So today, and during the pandemic, we were 100% remote. So ultimately, this process kind of, I actually started it off at 4 hours, and I had several stakeholders leaving meetings during the 4 hours. And so I tried it with 2 hours. I made everyone kind of stay in the meeting, and it worked. So I kind of was able to repeat it, you know, and here we are today.
One of the cool things about this, Tressa, when we did record a podcast, is that we had a similar journey at Bonanza Studio. We used to run 2-day workshop, then we realized no one is paying attention. Let's reduce it to 1 day. No one paying attention. Let's reduce it to 4 hours. No one paying attention. Well, let's reduce it to 2 hours.
Right.
Oh, now we're seeing, sometimes now we even run 1.5 hours. But like literally, like, you know, the online environment doesn't really provide you with a lot of tools to keep people engaged. So you really need to be calculated how many hours you expect your audience to be present, and don't ask too much, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, during the height of the pandemic, we toyed with, you know, the tracking technologies of, are people paying attention to meetings? We got rid of those pretty quickly. No one liked those. So just takes one executive to not pay attention, and you don't use the technology anymore. No, I'm kidding. But no, so a lot of changes, right, over the last several years. But let's look at what today looks like. So today it's everything, right? We have a hybrid environment. We have, we're a really interesting technology organization. We allow employees to choose. Do you want to be 100% remote? Do you want to be hybrid and go into one of our offices? Or do you want to go, you're welcome to go in all 5 days, although not many are doing that. So this is what a lot of the process looks like for us today. So we have set of folks in the room, but one of the key differences, we are still using collaborative tools. Figma FigJam is our tool of choice that we use. So we're still using Figma FigJam, and now what we've done is we have the ability to have folks in person, folks remote, as well as this FigJam board, and we're all collaborating together. So it's actually been a really interesting journey, and I think this, there's a lot of different articles on, you know, what's going to happen? Is it going to go back in person? Is it going to be hybrid? So I think there is a generational shift going on, right? So a lot of baby boomers are retiring. You have millennials and younger generations that are taking in leadership roles in office. And so my prediction is that hybrid is probably going to stay around for a while with that change. And there's still a lot of remote organizations. You know, a year ago, I would have said, you know, remote's here to stay, but I am seeing a lot more of a hybrid shift, even with the companies I've been working with, where they have some folks coming in, some remote, but they're kind of left to choose which they prefer, just like we do at TreviPay. So what are you seeing in the market?
In terms of hybrid, and I think hybrid is going to stay. There is no question in my mind. We are increasingly running in-person workshops, not like 2 days, but like maximum 4 hours. Yeah. And I see it. I get a lot of good benefits out of it, especially like, you know, the folks that I'm working with is like the heads, the executives, CEOs, they're busy. So actually trapping them in one room for 2 hours and get the most out of them is a really good way of doing it. And often, like, they tell me it's really good that you locked us in for like 2 hours, but I think hybrid is going to stay for a long while.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, you know, the key thing I mentioned, you know, we have teams in the US, Netherlands, and Australia. So usually someone is making a sacrifice when we're running these. Yeah. You know, either coming in, our Australia team, I feel like they make a lot of sacrifices. They've got a lot of early mornings. I think it's like three or four here, but it's like 6 or 7 a.m. their time. So lots of early mornings for them. But, you know, someone's always making a sacrifice, but really, you know, what we've seen is, again, we've still taken the same process. You know, we've completed over 25 of these this year, and we're still able to repeat it even with this hybrid method. So I think that's what's, you know, been really great, is it's kind of, you know, testing that time of how organizations are changing, whether they're in person or remote. I will say, the one thing I have noticed in remote, I think my jokes go over a little better when I'm actually in person. You know, people laugh a little more. No. But no, I mean, those are kind of some of the trade-offs, right, of what we're doing in person or not. So based on that, so when should you use a 5-day versus a 2-hour design sprint? So 5 days or design thinking, whatever method you want to use, those are really good for large or complex problems. So let's just say, for instance, and I'm going to say this one from experience, let's say you are migrating your entire website to a new website. That is
something you shouldn't.
Exactly. Or maybe you'll just migrate one feature at a time and let users move over. I've seen a lot of failed migrations over the years, but that's one where that's really complex. That's a really big shift for users. You're going to piss off a lot of users with that migration, no matter the route you take. So that's something that's large, complex. In a 2-hour design sprint might not really be the best method for that. It's also something that's going to involve a lot of stakeholders. You're going to have architecture, you're going to have your engineering team, you're going to have product, you're going to have executive buy-in, you're going to have anyone communicating with your customers, training, a lot of pieces involved there. So that's something where you probably don't want to go take something complex like that and use it for 2 hours. However, I will say what I've been doing more with, I think people kind of think it's like funny, like it's a challenge, like, hey, can we do this problem? Can you come do a design sprint with it? And so the problems have been becoming more large and complex. So I have been doing the stackable 2-hour design sprints where, let's just take that same example, and you have a migration of the website. Maybe you're breaking those 2-hour design sprints out by the 3 different tabs you have. So you have a dashboard or a dashboard view, or maybe you take navigation or a reporting view and you break it out that way. So there are ways to do it, and I'm seeing it happen more and more as this process is kind of taking on and working with different orgs and even internally at TribuPay. So not saying it can't be done, but just giving an example where you could be better off if you're wanting that to use a longer method. In 2 hours, we'll talk about some examples of 2-hour design sprints here in a minute. Really great for small or medium problems. So this could be something you already have on your backlog. Maybe you are looking to go into a new industry. So maybe you are looking at healthcare. Again, healthcare is a really big topic right now. It's a really big industry. So let's say you're looking to go target a brand new persona in the healthcare market for customers with an app that you have. So that could be something where you would think industry would be large, but you're able to actually focus in on a group of where you're able to take that design and problem from beginning to end in 2 hours. And that's something an example I've actually done with an organization. And so that's just kind of an example to give you what you could do. Another one is like a simple dashboards, reporting. You're able to kind of take that and go in and have that problem and come up with a solution. But what's been really interesting, I talked about the shift to hybrid. The shift of this method has been interesting as well. So I'm not actually just coaching product and technology teams. This is being used in marketing, operations, process efficiency. So it's kind of spilled over into other departments where you're able to take really any problem going on. So let's just say one challenge that a lot of organizations deal with is, their CRM systems, how up to date their CRM system is. And most of us know your data is only as good as your database, which CRMs like Salesforce are really complex and robust. And if you don't have up-to-date data in there, that's a big challenge. So we actually ran a design sprint on updating CRMs in 2 hours and came up with a solution for it. So really seeing a lot of crossover of how this could be used at organizations. So we just talked about what would make some good topics to talk about for that and how you'd be able to kind of pull that in. So let's dive into what the method is. So we've been talking a lot about how it's being utilized. So one of the key differences between a 2-hour design sprint and a 5-day design sprint or a multi-day is you actually are only completing 3 stages. And prototyping and testing is done outside of the method. So we'll talk a bit about why that is and what that looks like. So you remember the screen I showed earlier that was 5 days. This is a snapshot of what the 2-hour design sprint method looks like. So you're spending around 30 minutes really understanding who the customer is. Then you're exploring the problem, and then you're going into solutioning. And most of the organizations have an idea of who their personas are or who their customers are. So I'm not going to dive heavy into any pre-work today, but usually organizations have a persona in mind or one already developed internally, except for that one organization I mentioned a bit ago that used ChatGPT to define their persona. But most organizations have that idea, but that's something that's always good to have, whether you're a fan of user personas or jobs to be done instead of user personas. Having an idea of what you want to do there is valuable. So with that first 30 minutes, really understanding who the customer is and what problems they have. So again, this could be a user persona, this could be a job to be done. If that's not something that you've explored, being able to understand what problems are your customers encountering and how often is really critical. So you want to focus on the key problem you're wanting to solve for that design sprint, and you want to have that set before you go in to the design sprint. So that's really critical, being able to know what you're going to go in and bring the stakeholders in. And this is where you're able to really define what you do and don't know about the problem. So let's say for example, let's say you have a primarily a website user base, and you have a responsive web page for mobile, but what you're getting a lot of feedback from folks that they want, more of a native experience, like an iOS native mobile app. So that's something where you already know a lot about your customers and you know the feedback. Maybe you're using Google Analytics, Amplitude, Omniture, any other Adobe Analytics, and you have some amount of data on your customers. So you could really point to, hey, we know 99% of our users use Chrome and they use it on a desktop. They don't touch the mobile app. So right there, you know what the problem is. Your users are not using mobile. Well, why is that? And you do that discovery and you're able to understand, you know what? It's probably because we don't have a responsive web page and they can't really use the site. That's what you kind of learn. So that's really what you're trying to understand when you're empathizing with the customers. And a good way to do that is, you may or may not have that data. You might be finding some of that data out when you're in this section. You could even just pull up the site and look as a group of what's going on, with mobile for that example, for instance. So that's really that exploration stage there of defining what you do and don't know about the problem or the customers that you're trying to solve the problem for. So the next stage, you're really exploring that problem a little more. So this is where you might introduce the how might we exercise. So this helps you as a team to really frame the challenge into a question. And you'll notice this is one key component that comes from the design sprint process. And it's really helpful. This component actually wasn't necessarily created by the design sprint method, but it's one that, an exercise that's used pretty broadly. There's a lot of research on it from IDEO. At Stanford. So this really helps you to generate a more creative solution and come to agreement as a team. And that's really the whole critical point of the 2-hour process is you are intentionally time boxing to really limit what you know and the discovery to solution together. What sometimes I see a lot of teams do is they spend like in a 5-day process, they're spending too much time mulling over the same problems and they're never really moving on from it. They're not able to move forward. And that's where a lot of companies get stuck.
One time I ran a design sprint, Tressa, we brought in two directors from two different companies that they wanted to do a partnership. It was actually really interesting to see that we drill down on this, how might we, for hours, and these two go back and forth, try to prove the other one who's the bigger person, so to speak, is. And we were like literally sitting and watching these things happening back and forth. And we ended up not arriving at anything. And then one of them sent us the Hamite V via email at night. It's like, okay, I guess we got to go with this.
Yeah, it's such a challenge, you know, depending on the teams that you have too. So
is your role, the role of the facilitator is sort of like to, because it's 30 minutes. Is who at the end sort of like call the shot, says, okay, guys, this is it. It's good enough. Let's move on.
It's a really great question. So one of the key differences, again, between this method that really combines both design thinking and design sprints in like a traditional design sprint is what I encourage is a subject matter expert to be the moderator.
And oh, okay.
Yeah. You don't have to have a subject matter expert, but when you have someone that is very skilled as a moderator for the 2-hour design sprint, it allows you to bring consensus together with the team, and you're able to do it without being biased. Like that's always been one of the stipulations is, can you really prevent bias? And that could happen in any situation, even if you bring in a third party firm, maybe they're steering you towards Microsoft, you know, instead of Oracle. I mean, so bias can happen anywhere. And so with this role, the moderator is the one that is really more the decider, right? Which is what the design sprint uses of who is going to recommend where the team moves forward with the solution. But before that happens, you're voting as a group. So you have multiple votes happening per group, and that allows you to see who is where the team is voting. So let's just go back to that mobile solution. Let's say you come up with a couple different solutions. That's where you kind of have the voting and everyone is putting their stickers in the Figma Fig Jam board. And you as a decider need to be the one to say, hey, I think that is the right direction. And when you have a subject matter expert in that role, it could help with that direction a little bit. But that's kind of really the options you have of depending how you do that. I know that if you bring in a third party to run the 2-hour design sprint method, that's where you kind of have the same role as a decider where they need to be able to say, hey, guys, I really feel like the group is heading this direction. Does everyone agree? And you want to get the agreement from the group. So in this last stage, and again, we'll walk through a couple examples here. The sketching stage, this is the one where a lot of people get really skeptical that the sketching can happen during that time period. And so what I talk about a lot, because it's one of my favorite things, is there is a really great YouTube series and TED Talk by Tom Muzek on how to make toast in 3 minutes. So what I like to remind groups is you can sketch certainly, you know, in the 20 minutes that you're given. You don't need 2 full days of sketching like a lot of organizations mentioned, because there's a reason for it, right? You need to be able to express what you're trying to develop during that time period. And we've actually trialed taking a problem with a 2-hour design sprint and a 5-day to see how similar the solutions would be. And while they were a little different, the direction ended up being the same. So that's something that is not only encouraging, but also it allows you to kind of see you don't need the full 5 days to kind of come to that agreement. And you actually just wasted a lot of time coming up with something you could have come up with in 2 hours. And I'll talk about why I kind of ended up doing that test. I think I mentioned earlier, so I'm finishing up my second master's. And so I did submit a research paper on the method. So I had to prove out, you know, whether the method worked a little bit. And so it was kind of a fun exercise to see, like, well, what's going to happen here? But that could be a fun test for you at your organization of trying this out, too, on anything that you've done or something you're wanting to try to do. But you don't really have much to lose when it's only 2 hours. So,
you know what, the way we run this part of the 2 hour is that we ask people to write down the solution that they have in mind in a sticky. It could be a story, it could be one idea, it could be a future idea, whatever, right? And then we try to organize them and get some voting on it. right? So we can create a heat map of all the interesting ideas in text. And if we have time, we do some quick wireframing, and that's done by us because, you know, we're designers, we can do it really fast. But for us, that's enough. If we create a heat map of all the ideas in text, then we take it internally and like sort of like toy with them.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's really great. Quite a few heat maps come out of these two. That's actually what's most interesting is you see really how each organization is set up when you run this in different places. So I had one design sprint that had a really heavy designer group. Like I think half the people, I'm not sure why there were so many in there, but they had a lot of designers. And so it was like all high fidelity mock-ups in 20 minutes. And I was like, well, that's basically cheating. Come on. but no, I think you're absolutely right. So it doesn't have to be, you don't have to create a high fidelity mock-up or prototype to get what you believe the solution is. And some organizations, you know, depending how, you know, where your UX maturity is, or, you know, your engineering maturity, you might be at a different stage as an organization. But we actually have, we have over 20 engineering teams and really highly skilled teams. So they could take what's on that, you know, post-it note and run with it. They don't need a design for everything. And so I think a lot of organizations feel that way. And I think that really is some of the demystifying of this 5-day design sprint is you don't need a high fidelity prototype to know whether or not your customer is going to like your solution. And so that's really kind of some of the holes that this process pokes is take what you have and get the feedback from your customer. You're better off getting that feedback earlier on than spending all the time and finding out it's a horrible idea and you just wasted a bunch of time and money.
Yeah, like when, to your point, whenever we work with the developers, either like our developers or like the client's developers, we don't design sign up or registration process anymore or onboarding. It's like, it's just this screen, we need these fields, go do whatever you want to do with it.
Yeah.
It's just like, hey, sign up. Why should we design something for it?
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's interesting too. Obviously, there's a lot known about this process. So we actually do quite a bit of design sprints with the clients as well, design custom solutions. And that's actually been a super interesting process because, you know, I would say there's pros and cons to it because they expect you to deliver on the solution that's come up with during it. So I don't always recommend that, but when you're doing custom features for clients, if you can, the earlier you can involve them, the better off you're getting buy-in on what they may be paying for or maybe won't be paying for. So, but yeah, so it's interesting. There's just so many different ways to kind of go with it. So I mentioned that prototyping and testing are after the 2-hour design sprint. And so the biggest reason for that is one we just talked about, which is not every organization needs a high fidelity prototype or designs to be able to move those to the customers, nor do they need the time for it. Most of the features that organizations work on using this method for or other design sprint methods are ones that they already have a design system in place or screens that they're able to modify from. So you don't need, you know, a full, and then that fourth day of a 5-day design sprint, you know, a lot of that is on the designer for putting that together. So this just kind of shows you, this is a customer screen that came out of one of the design sprints. And ultimately the goal is you're taking that. And if you need a high fidelity prototype, go spend more time on that. And if you're wanting to do that testing with either of those, you know, do it outside of that process. And the biggest reason for that is whether you're using a 2-hour method or a 5-day method, you're gonna need more prototyping and testing. So you're not escaping it with a 5-day method. You are gonna need more validation. Yep. And from the testing side of things, there's no guarantee that you're going to have that prototype done after 5 days. It's never seen it, never happened that way. You're always gonna have critical feedback and you're gonna be making changes. So that's something that, again, you're saving time and money, you're getting feedback earlier so that when you go to that client, you have the right prototype. You don't have something you just rushed in a 5-day period and you're handing off to them. Because they expect it to be more done when you tell them how much time you spend on it versus they understand what a 2-hour workshop is and what they're going to be getting and viewing out of that. Let's look at some use cases. And feel free to ask any questions, you know, as we're going through this or on any of the content as well. So this is the Figma FigJam template out on the Figma community. If you just search for 2-hour design sprints, and the template's kind of morphed, you know, as time has gone with this process, but this is what one of the original templates. And this particular 2-hour design sprint, the team was wanting to redesign the home screen navigation. So this is kind of where, again, I'll just walk through kind of high level, but you'll see kind of the problem site statement here. Website users find the home screen challenging to navigate to find what they are looking for, and the site is outdated compared to other advertising websites. So with this particular scenario, there was around 20 stakeholders in this group across various departments. No changes to the agenda, just the standard agenda that was out in Figma FigJam. So we kind of went in knowing the two types of personas that were the dominant users of this website. And then we went through the different stages that we just talked about, empathizing with customers. And this is kind of that interaction part of the design sprint that's all happening collaboratively, right? So the difference of having this in a virtual collaborative tool is everything that everyone is writing on the team is right in front of you live. So you're able to see who is writing the sticky notes. Am I able to zoom in a bit? That's a good question. Am I able to zoom in? Let's see. I'm not sure if I am able to zoom in. I'm afraid if I do it, I might mess up the sharing on it, but I'll see what I could do to zoom in on a couple of these here in a minute. So with that though, you're able to kind of see everything live right in front of you, and that is allowing the efficiency of the process even more. So in a in-person design sprint, no matter how long, you were having to walk around and write everyone's post-it notes. And I think there was a question on the problem statement. So this particular 2-hour design sprint was around redesigning the home screen navigation. So the problem statement we landed on as a group was that website users find the home screen challenging to navigate, to find what they're looking for, and that the site is outdated compared to other advertising websites. So that was really the challenge, right? It was low user adoption on the site, low click metrics. So this is a perfect example of, and honestly, this is a challenge for a lot of organizations. Whether you have a website or a mobile app, you want to be able to not just drive click metrics, you need to drive engagement. You don't just want them to go to your home screen, you want them to stay and you want them to click around. So that's what the problem was here. So that, honestly, you know, it's not really necessarily a small problem, but it was one where we were able to kind of complete some ideas. And again, with this 2-hour design sprint, we already know we have a home screen navigation that exists today. So the solutioning that you're doing as a team really resides around how you will solution something different than what goes on today based on the problems that you've been talking about and understanding from users. And the outcome of this 2-hour design sprint is putting those new screens in place of those users to say, hey, what do you think about that? What do you think about that new design? And that's the exact outcome of what happened here. So, you know, this particular home screen navigation, you know, there is still quite a few different types of websites out there, you know, that use different types of navigation where you're clicking on lists, whereas a lot of new sites have gone to more of like a card technology where you're able to click in different. So you'll kind of notice some of that came out in some of these designs here for that. But what I want to show you is this is what that 2-hour design sprint looks like beginning to end. And as the moderator, you know, running this through, you're really time capping everything of, okay, let's understand the customers, let's explore the problem more, and then same with the solutioning as well.
Having worked with large organization, I know that at least it takes about 2 to 3 weeks for some teams in big organization to get around a simple problem like this, to being able to just lock in 2 hours and get to this level of clarity on this problem is huge.
actually a pretty cool one and really relevant. Obviously, ChatGPT is being talked about a lot, but this particular company was wanting to really utilize a ChatGPT integration into their current system. And this is being done in a lot of places. And, you know, OpenAI is not the driver behind every single integration from what I'm seeing. So they were exploring other solutions, but specifically they were wanting the ability to have, you know, this ChatGPT integration for different mechanisms on their site from a business standpoint. So this was actually a pretty fun one for, you know, obvious reasons, being able to play around with what that would look like. In a lot of during the sessions on this, you know, a lot of people pulled up ChatGPT and kind of talked about some of the value that customers would get directly out of it. So an integration really is a perfect example of you're able to kind of mesh the two things, right? What would the experience be like with your site plus another site or some sort of integration between the two? So this made a really great use case. So for this particular problem statement, although ChatGPT provides users with a smart and robust AI-generated content creator, users have noted its limitations in capacity, content accuracy issues, data range restrictions, limitations on voice and content generation style, as well as its racial and gender bias content. So those were some of the concerns limiting this company from moving forward with ChatGPT. And I know OpenAI specifically, you know, their data still only goes back to September of 2021. So at this point, that is a two-year-old database that's constantly feeding and getting new data, but they're not really sharing, you know, their validation process with that. It's still a trained model as well as an automated model. So it's not 100% automated from a machine learning standpoint. So supervised and unsupervised learning specifically. So this is kind of a fun one, right? So more specifically, they wanted to use this method to talk through some of the concerns around the ChatGPT integration. So again, we went in with understanding, you know, who the customers were, and these specifically were customers that would be using their site that would have this integration available on there, just like a search box to ask anything. And then we kind of explored the problem, which we talked about some of the problems, right? So like, they're going to put all this data in there, and as an organization, they still weren't going to necessarily have access to the data. So that was some of the challenges that we worked through. And then there was kind of some of the solutioning, which I had removed quite a few on here for obvious reasons. But ultimately, what they were able to kind of come up with was a concept that would allow users a limited amount of functionality to what ChatGPT is able to offer to limit users from just having open-end access to the platform. So
it's pretty cool.
Right. And this next one, we've talked a lot about increasing user adoption. The problem for this two-hour design sprint was really strictly around increasing user adoption. So it was a really big challenge for this particular organization on what they were wanting to kind of utilize. And this was actually one of the earlier ones. And this was actually an internal team at TrevyPay. So I have everything blurred because I have to. So for this particular one, we had a customer portal that we had recently launched, and we had, you know, what would be around 30,000 for this particular client, 30,000 users that could be using this portal.
Wow.
And, so a huge opportunity there. And what we noticed is there wasn't a large uptick in those that were using it. So, we did a design sprint around how we could target and increase user adoption, and we were able to successfully increase user adoption by over 300% year over year. And we've actually kept that up since we've been doing that. And, you know, a lot of it was through training. So we set up training and webinars, and we explained how to use the portals. We have kind of done a lot of things over the years, you know, in terms of notifications for logins, what's going to drive users to the portals. But this was a really fun one because it's been going on for a bit of time.
I love this example so much because increasing user adoption is not a project. It's a continuous work. And if you want to leverage a expensive design thinking process or a 5-day design sprint, this doesn't allow you to work continuously on this, because it's not only one way that you can increase user adoption. You have to try different ways. And some of those ways may work in parallel to each other. So you need to basically maintain them, elaborate on them, develop them, improve them. 2-hour design sprint, really a good practice to allow you to work continuously on such a big topic.
Right. And it's a repeatable one too, right? So,
yeah.
You know, we are at TravePay, we're constantly looking at ways we could increase user engagement. You know, at the end of the day, higher user engagement equals higher revenue. So, this is one that, even though we did this a couple years ago, it's one that was so successful. It is still one that is continuing to pay dividends, from an ROI standpoint. So, But that's kind of the risk factor, right? Of what's the risk if I don't invest in a process like a 2-hour design sprint and I don't try and come up with a solution? Because that really is the biggest risk, right? Of if you don't try something to increase user adoption and grow revenue, you're missing out on that opportunity to do so. And, you know, had we done a 5-day process, a lot of times what happens with those 5-day design sprints is it takes about 3 weeks to compile everything that has happened and all the executable tasks, and it becomes a 2-year project of everything you're executing. So, whereas when you have a method like this, you're able to immediately push the solution in. You have narrowed the scope down and you have an executable task that you're able to turn into an OKR. You know, for us as an organization, increasing customer happiness and user experience is a KPI for us. So this was an executable task we were able to kind of pull right into our organizational strategy. This is another one. So this is a customer dashboard. So this one I've kind of just focused on the sketching again and have it blurred out again, just because I can't give all of these, unfortunately, with some of the companies I work with. But this particular one, they were wanting to redesign a dashboard. And so I kind of focused on the sketching for this in particular, because I want you to see the different types of ideas and concepts that could come out of the sketching exercise during a 20 to 30 minute period of doing that. Mm. So you'll see you have all kinds of, you know, you have some post-it notes, you have some folks that have written and posted a picture up here. So this is really the most creative part of the 2-hour design sprint, and ultimately the opportunity to really come together with all the right stakeholders and be able to vote and solution together. So I just wanted you to be able to see what that opportunity looks like for that. So let's kind of summarize some of the results that we've seen in using this method versus a 5-day. So I think it's pretty obvious, you're able to save a lot of time, right? So the amount of 2-hour design sprints we're able to complete, we've completed over 25 this year. When we ran a 5-day method, we did not run more than three of those a year because they were so time consuming and expensive. So what happens when you're not running those? Well, you're not really being creative and you're not problem solving for a lot of problems that exist for customers. Easier to schedule with stakeholders as soon as possible. So if, in fact, I had a reach out before this meeting of, hey, I need to schedule a 2-hour design sprint for this. Can you help? So that's something that we're able to fit in this week, you know, versus having to wait for several months to plan a 5-day one. You're able to conduct multiple in a week or month. The key one here I mentioned for our organization and a lot of organizations out there and many on this call, or the ability to use this process globally with your teams is really the biggest win for me. So if you are not getting that stakeholder feedback from all of your stakeholders globally, you're missing out on a huge opportunity that could change the solution. So that really is really a key result factor for us as an org and a lot of organizations. And faster gratification, right? So you're able to get more out there quickly and your customers are able to see that you're constantly solutioning. So That's something that's really valuable as well. Since rolling this process out, and this number has probably gone up even more since then, we've completed over 72-hour design sprints since the COVID pandemic started just at TriviPay. Hundreds of others that I've worked with organizations the last 3 years. And ultimately, two-hour design sprints cater well, again, to small, medium problems. Some of the opportunities, you know, it can't always be a win, right? You're always, we're always learning, all of us, every day. And some of the opportunities that I think there's still opportunity for in this process are, we have this big adjustment we talked to about moving to hybrid models. So now a lot of organizations have in-person and remote teams in a hybrid model for these. So that's adjusted really well for it, but there's always an opportunity to improve what that looks like. And then successful handoff of solutioning when moderating. So what I've seen happen here is it's not always the subject matter expert running these. You know, myself, I'm also over the UX and design team in addition to product. So I'm always happy to jump in and run these as well as my UX and designers on the team. So what's a successful handoff look like when you were just doing this process as a moderator versus subject matter expert? And how do you make sure that when you hand it off, you're not stuck with it after? So that's something that we're working on as an org. You know, if we're on the trajectory that we're on right now, we are completing at least 1 2-hour design sprint a week for any given department at TriviPay. So that's something where that successful handoff becomes really critical, kind of knowing that. So in terms of a time standpoint, I've got a couple more slides here. Did you want me to save some time for?
I would love to get maybe like put it on the most important screen so folks can see it. I would like to get two interesting questions. I think then we can maybe wrap it up.
Yep. So ultimately, I think, you know, there is a lot of content here, right? So we're talking about 2-hour design sprints and a 1-hour time period. So I would say, most importantly, there is a Figma FigJam template out on the Figma community. So that has the template that you're seeing right here. This QR code should take you there if you're new to Figma FigJam. So you can either use this template or recreate your own. But ultimately, a lot of what we talked about here, you know, I've put some additional steps out there based on feedback from those that are, you know, using the template. So I'm always updating, I'm always iterating and improving based on feedback. So always welcome feedback as well. So this is out there on the Figma FigJam. And then in terms of sharing this presentation, so I do have a Udemy course out that has like some of this content on here as well. So this is a discount code. I think it's normally like $59.99. This will get you it for like $12 or something like that. So I do have this content out there. If you're able, if you're wanting to see that, there is quite a bit that's like free, just even like on the Udemy site too, with some of the slides and some other downloads on there as well.
Folks, I bought this book for myself and for my team. It's a good investment.
There is also the book as well. The book has the content, which there is the firm's running an October special for like the Kindle book right now. So I know that one's on sale for $6.99. So yeah.
Fantastic. Trissa, one question that I'm actually curious to get your answer in is that, can you share your experience with involving target users in discovery and ideation process? Do you believe it's preferable to engage them solely during testing?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So I have done it a couple different ways. I think that what I like to do at every organization I've been at is develop relationships with customers earlier in the process. Yeah. I think if you wait until testing, that you're missing out on the opportunity for feedback, and it's too late and you end up with an unhappy customer. So what I like to do, so I mentioned, you know, a lot of the adoption that we've been working on, like portals and other means. So I actually created an NPS survey embedded on the portals. And on that survey, I allow anyone that's logged in to sign up to be part of our design process. And have had a pretty high sign-up rate, like really high. So I would say 40% of the people using our portals have signed this form. So now I've got an unlimited pool of customers that I'm able to get feedback for whenever we want for anything. So I would say in addition to design sprints, we're you know, pretty good on from a UX maturity standpoint. So we are constantly interviewing customers, researching, and you want to be able to have a good amount of knowledge of who your customers are to pull them into design sprints or any methodology you're using mm-hmm. or. So if you don't have a pool of customers that you're able to, on a minute's email, you know, minute's notice email, reach out to and say, hey, could I set up some time to get feedback? That should be something you act on today. Like, that is really the most invaluable tool, is being able to get constant iterative feedback from customers so that you can have that quickly, you know, completed with your process and integrated with it.
So, so important. I think this is a very, very important. I think you guys, I hope you guys take notes. It's so important to have a customer pool that you can reach out to, because often there's a project, there's a big problem coming up. Everyone panics. Let's go talk to customers. Oh, we don't have a pool. Takes weeks.
Absolutely.
So lastly, for the 2-hour design sprint session, is there a maximum or minimum number of people to participate?
That's a really great question. So and I'm pulling this template up again as well. So with a 2-hour design sprint session, you really don't want to have more than 20 stakeholders. When you have more than 20 stakeholders, I will say I have run a handful of 2-hour design sprints with 100 stakeholders in a room, and I'll tell you how it went. Not well. So I'm always happy to fulfill a request even with a warning. So I did it. But here's what happened with that 100 stakeholders. 50% of them weren't paying attention. They were just on their phones, on their laptops. So and again, when this was actually an in-person, 100-person in-person 2-hour design sprint. So imagine if it had been 100% remote, you know, it might have been even worse than the in-person one. So so I would say when you have too many cooks in a kitchen, it's going to be really hard to come up with that right dish, right? So I really recommend not having more than 20 for these. And you want to make sure that you have a good mix from different departments. So with that, here's a good example. So creating a diverse attendee list from different folks, your product manager, designers, developers, architects, anyone that's experiencing any contact with customers, support, account managers, marketing. So having that mix of how you're going to solution for that customer is really critical. And if you are able to pull in an executive stakeholder for additional buy-in, that would be wise as well, to be able to facilitate and help create that buy-in for when you're needing additional funding, if you need to go that route for your solution as well.
Fantastic, Teresa. I cannot thank you enough for coming here and such openly share your experience. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for listening to this episode. For more information, go to bonanza-studios.com.